traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Coach Shannon Briggs found out that last night I blew my batch, bro. I threw away my precious seed. My ejaculate was put somewhere not in my penis.
It's flowing around in the ether.
And also, by the way, same with this morning.
Oh.
And it, I f***ed up.
Oh. I hear your dick caused quite the commotion.
My dick?
Yeah.
Shit.
That's just what I hear.
Well, what's new, if I'm being honest? When is it not causing commotion?
I don't know.
Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening to this season of Impulsive. I'm just going to say it, bro. I think this could potentially be the last podcast
ever.
No, just until season 2, because we're going to take this last final month off before my fight on November 9th against KSI at the Staples Center to just zone in, focus, become the fighter. Because, we do a lot of these. If you notice, we went from 3 a week to 2 a week. Not even going to do 1 a week.
None a week.
None a week. I want to do this right here. Tunnel vision, baby. So if you guys are not subscribed, subscribe. Season 2 is going to be absolutely crazy. We fucking love you. This episode is going to be great.
That said, if you're feeling bored and you need your contact fixed, you could always subscribe to the Night Shift.
That's true. Or you can follow Spencer, who's destroying student debt all across the nation.
That's true.
Yeah, facts.
Plenty of content to go around.
You're posting like crazy.
There's a lot of stuff to talk about, boys. I don't even know where to start today. Today's episode is going to be hella juicy. I sparred this morning. My face is a little red, as you can tell, so it's going to take me a bit to warm up. But let's dive right into it. My dick.
Yeah. What happened with your cock, dude?
Okay. So you may have seen on Instagram, guys. My team has banned me for the past month from girls, inviting girls over to the house. Hanging out with them, hooking up with them, anything. I've been banned, blacklisted,
blueballed.
Here's the problem. I'm 24 years old. I'm a horny, young, fighting male.
Yep.
Full of testosterone. And it's not that I can't stop having sex, but I can't stop having sex, bro. I can't. Just because, bro, I mean, fuck. If you got a golden set of...
Goose,
you're gonna flock to the par.
Yeah, you're gonna let him fly.
What the fuck did I just say?
So wait. Where were you when this sexual encounter happened?
Me?
Yeah,
that's confidential, my guy. The point is this:
How did it initiate?
Unless you know the safe word that we used in London.
Oh, by the way, we got a safe word in London.
Really?
The security team's like, if anything goes wrong or anyone asks
don't say
any information, well, we can say it now.
No, because it might stay for the next one.
No. We'll switch it up. It was Alpha 99.
Alpha 99. We got a problem here. Alpha 99.
Yeah.
Alpha 99.
Alpha 99.
We had a fucking code word. But the thing is, that's a whole another story.
Yeah. Let's stay focused.
Because there's so many, bro. I'm melting down, bro.
You can
I'm
do
losing it. No, I can't.
You can.
Because there's too many shits, bro.
You've had a rough morning, huh?
Yeah, I guess he'll get there. Okay. I'm going to sit back.
Because here's why he had a rough morning. Okay. Coach Shannon Briggs found out that last night I blew my batch, bro. I threw away my precious seed. My ejaculate was put somewhere not in my penis.
It's flowing around in the ether.
And also, by the way, same with this morning.
Oh.
And it, I fucked up.
Oh.
I fucked up. So I go to spar this morning. First 2 rounds, yo, I'm not getting hit.
Awesome.
I'm fucking this dude up. And then all of a sudden I'm like, ah, shit. I blew my batch, bro. I can't do anything. And then I started taking some shots to the head. And Mike came out this morning. He's like, yo, Logan, I heard you got your ass beat. I'm like, nah, not really the case, but yeah, I could have done better. And then Shannon started yelling at me because I blew it. And then I started yelling at Mike for enabling me.
Mm.
And then Shannon and Mike started yelling at each other. And this is where it got tricky. Because Mike, I realized, and he told me this, he goes, I don't value my health enough to not argue with Shannon Briggs.
Not at all.
Most people, you know, if Shannon gets in your face, bro, something's got to give.
It was a wall, me with my back to it, and Shannon Briggs in my face. Mm-hmm. I had absolutely nowhere to go. I did not crawl through 10 years of blood, guts, drug abuse, and whatever other fucking matter could be on you, scar tissue, to get disrespected or shut down by anyone.
But also,
my pride and my integrity is the only thing I give a fuck about in this world. And if that means I'm going through a plate glass window to protect it, I'm a fucking do it.
But also,
most of the time. The shit today was fucked up, okay? Because last night when that shit happened, I said, maybe not hard enough, but I said, let's sit here, let's watch Band of Brothers. As everyone knows, no one knows this, but this morning Shannon said I was the fun guy in the group.
Well, you are.
He said, hold on, let me finish.
Is he not a fun guy?
You are.
Let me finish, because your humor got us further into the fight today, because no one else knows you're joking except for me.
What did I do?
Today, when Shannon was saying, you need to do better, to me yelling at me, you were like, yeah, Mike, where were you when my dick was going into that girl? Like, he's right. And I know you're fucking around, but nobody else, you know that humor I'm talking about.
I know.
So nobody else in the group knew he was fucking around. And so I'm getting pissed off at fucking Logan. I got Briggs in my fucking face spitting all over me.
Yeah, you took on like, I saw the instant replay. You took on like a gallon.
And so I said,
this was fire meets fire. I think you also disrespected Shannon back. It was like y'all were both going there. And if I'm being honest, bro.
Uh-oh.
I'm surprised he didn't knock you the fuck out, bro.
I said, Shannon, when you get pissed off in the real world, not jail or fight camp, the real world, I need you to do a better job of learning how to communicate. He only knows how to communicate with two things. The problem is he's not in New York anymore. Mm. In LA, the wrong communication here gets you canceled and put in jail. Like, literally, there's someone in this city right now who would pay enough money to have him jailed for arguing with them the wrong way.
Yeah, but
literally.
But at the same token, bro, this is coming from the guy who, like, can't get canceled and who's big man on campus.
Hold on a sec.
Doesn't give a fuck. And I get
who's
it.
Who's that?
You.
But why are you concerned with my activity? I'm talking about him.
Because I was surprised at how far both of you were willing to go over something so dumb, by the way.
Well, it seems dumb to you, but it's causing friction in the fucking camp. By the way, the biggest question is, how the fuck did anyone else find out? Why do people know that that happened?
Who fucking snitched? It was Milton. I know it was.
Oh, no.
I know it was.
We got a snitch 9 in the house?
I'm saying it's like...
Uh-oh.
I pulled up this morning. 9:30 a.m., right on time for practice, and Milton happened to be here as well. He goes, where were you? I was like, getting gas. He goes, yeah, I saw your Instagram story all night. I was like, oh, big tank.
Because the other thing is,
G-Wagon.
The other thing is, he
smiled at me like one side of his mouth went up. He's like this. He's like, and that's the knowing look. Because he went to Sweden with me, bro. He knows my deal, bro.
Are you sure you didn't see anybody else with like a rainbow wig, like just skirt across the lawn when you peeled into?
I'm not sure I understand.
Me neither. I just laughed.
It's funny.
I told 6'9".
He's a level above us on humor. And I told.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Bro, I told Shannon, I was like, listen, I was like, how far do you want to take this? Because I don't have an off switch. If you want to keep pushing me and we want to get to that fucking level, let's do it. Next time Logan shows a sign of going out of the house to see a girl, I'm taking a machete to his tires.
Hold on a sec.
Do you want that? That was my question. Do you want me to slit his fucking tires?
And by the way, we found out the answer is Yes, no.
More so, when I get into a rage, no matter how hard he's trained, I can fucking restrain him. I assure you that, okay? Because it's like PCP. 50, 60 cops can't stop a PCP guy. When I get like this, bro, it's bad. It's very bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay? He's the heavyweight champ of the world.
He's talking about restraining me.
Oh, I can't. Nobody can restrain Shannon Briggs.
Oh, okay.
Nobody can restrain Shannon Briggs.
No, that's impossible. He's talking about restraining me.
Got it.
He thinks he could restrain me. I mean, we'll have to put it to the test and see.
How about you keep me out of the place where we have to do that? How about we just focus? You've been focused 99% of the time, which is still more than KSI. You're still going to win the fight. You're going to win the fight decisively, especially when you go to 100%. But can we just get that 1% right so I don't have to deal with fucking Briggs anymore?
Or does this environment help you? Do you thrive off this in a camp? Because I know it's a lot different than the first fight.
What do you mean, me?
Like this high-octane, like so, crazy energy.
Me, yes. I something about me that I learned last year was I thrive in chaos. When things are hectic and nothing's going right, I'm like, okay, how can I piece this together and make something out of...
Yeah.
Bullshit. And so, yeah, man, like I'm cool with it. Like I'm chilling right now. I think this thing that happened this morning was important, not only for me, because like, let's be honest, I'm not going to need him to slash my tires now. Like I'm a pretty driven dude. I think anyone who knows me will tell you that. Like I don't need direction now. It's very clear. Like it's on me to not be swayed by the feelings of my peen.
Right. But
I think we're all aligned now that this, there's no more lapses, no more severe and continuous lapses in judgment.
So the process of ejaculation did affect you? Like, that's a rumor. I know some fighters say it doesn't happen. He doubled up.
It's tricky because every fighter we've had on this show, I ask, hey, do you do the thing where you don't have sex 30 days before the fight? Every single one is like, nah, man, that's a rumor. Like, I know guys who are fucking fight day. Except I think it's circumstantial. I think it's different for everyone. The problem is I doubled up. Like, I think if I just did one, like this, it relaxes you. And that's what it was. It wasn't a conditioning thing. My conditioning's sick right now, bro. Like, I'm resting heart rate in the ring. I'm just like chilling, bro. And the problem also is I can take hits, like to the face. And so I'm like, I'm chip. Nah, no problem. Bang, bang, bang. And
starts
to add
up.
Look at me now. Like, I'm fine right now. And I took like a decent amount of headshots today, but it's almost like I start using my head as defense because I know I can. And it's a horrible fallback.
Well, you need to stop using your other head as offense.
Yes.
Okay. For like just the next 30 fucking days. Yep. That's it. Like,
no problem.
Like it even surprises me because I know you and I know that you're not one of those types of dudes. I'm one of those types of dudes.
I'm not.
You're not even, so when you tell me last night, you're like, yo, so-and-so just hit me up. I'm like, bro, what are you fucking doing right now? You don't even care about nutting that bad. Fucking don't.
Here's the thing, because I learned this morning. I was like, why am I doing this? Because like, I'm like joking when I say I'm horny. I'm not. Like, I'm pretty a fucking sexual right now, if I'm being honest with you. Like, I don't really feel the need to hook up with
chicks. So what do you
think
the real reason is?
This morning and last night.
The real reason is, bro, I'm doing it because people tell me I shouldn't.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? I am a young little rebel.
I'm
a rebel,
here.
Dude.
Damn.
It's why I do most of the things that I shouldn't do. Bro, when someone tells you that you can't, you're like, oh, yeah.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Yeah.
That's that America in you.
I'm just wanna.
That's that America.
I wanna lash out.
Yeah, it's
bro.
The America in them, which is why we have such high violent fucking crimes, high drug use, and obesity. It doesn't lead to anything fucking good. Yeah. And by the way, take it from someone who knows better than anyone. Okay, like his having 2 times a sex like in the past day. Like compare that to the shit I've done when people told me not to. Usually, people tell you not to do something because you fucking shouldn't.
Not always, though.
Not always.
The point is I'm locked in. And I know this all sounded probably pretty entertaining. The only thing that could have made it better is if we captured it on film, which we did. And you guys can see it in our Snapchat show that we're going to be releasing shortly. We partnered with Snapchat, full on show. It's called Countdown to Fight Night with Logan Paul. That's me. And it's, I think, 7 or 8 2-minute episodes behind the scenes of what this training camp, also death camp, also champ camp looks like. And this episode in particular is going to get heated. Mike versus Shannon, but it's all good now. They made amends. We're all on the same page, and everything's great.
It just happened on a day for me that I just wish it hadn't. Like, you know,
Mike's,
you know,
going through a lot today. He talked to me in the shower. I was naked. We did our usual Logan naked shower talk. And Mike's like, dude, I can't do this today. I'm like, you can, Mike.
There's probably one time a year where I start to feel like, yo, I potentially could have this meltdown. And mm-hmm. so like, it's I've talked a lot in the past about people when they want to compare talent versus drive and what the biggest catalyst for success is. And I always throw this third one in that's a curveball, and that's the ability to multitask 100 different situations. Okay. So where one person struggles at times to maintain one task, I am on the daily with a completely scientifically and computerized brain managing 50 fucking jobs at once. Mm-hmm. The FaZe Clan Love Sack deal that I'm running right now that no one watching this knows about is enough for 1 to 2 people by itself. No one even knows about that. It's a deal, millions of dollars in negotiations, photo shoots, pop-ups, product development. No one even knows about that.
And I mean, now they do.
Now they do.
But like, that's, it's true. Like, so like,
hey, man,
all of
if
those
it was
things,
easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah.
You got that skill set.
And I told him that. And he's had that skill set for 6 to 8 years. And I said, one of two things is happening. One, you feel like this right now because everything's kind of compounded and it's stacked. Or B, you're handling it really well because you're saying all these things, but I've seen you much worse. Even on this show, dude.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Even on the first show, You had to leave.
That was nerves. This is just like every single thing. Like my mom, the 2 days that she came into town, I haven't seen my mom in months. She's never been here. The 2 days she decided to come in were Shannon Briggs Kill Mike Day through the FaZe Clan photo shoot with Banks and Tommy. Like literally the day she's here. So she gets to the airport, the Uber or the car I booked and paid for her to drive here is somewhere in fucking Hollywood, 40 miles away. I'm like, why is this happening? So now I got to Uber my mom. It's just been a rough
fucking day. I had a very similar feeling before I went on tour. Cause I planned that whole tour in a month, no manager, like all planned. And that, yeah, dude, it gets stressful, man. But it puts you in a different league. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think you kind of have to do that in today's world. You got to like just pick everything up and do it. Get that shit done.
I said that to Logan. I was like, where do I find other people who operate at that level? And he was like, they won't join you because they're too busy building their own world. Like me and LP operate at a level that is like, and you do too, but now you're doing it for yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? So every time I look for someone that could potentially help me tackle such immense tasks, it's hard to find because they're usually the driven ones that are too busy doing it for themselves.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think there's what I'm learning just from the beginning of the tour that I'm on too is, dude, there's a lot of people that just don't even believe in themselves enough to like try stuff and to actually like create like what you're doing, what we're all doing. We're building our lives. Like a lot of people, dude, they're in too much debt. They're giving up on themselves before they even start.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I had a revelation about you actually based on sort of what you just said, because a lot of people don't have enough belief in themselves to get started. And I think there's a misconception that you're going to be great at the thing you want to be great at right away.
Yeah.
Almost impossible.
Yeah. I'm putting out content and like, I got a shitload of hate and I'm just
from what?
Just people saying like, oh, I don't get it. Like you think people signing the bus is going to change everything.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know, I took on that wave of hate and then I realized, oh, I must be doing something right because these people are reacting a certain way. And yes, my vlogs are going to not be the greatest when I start, but at least I fucking did it. At least I sent it. You know what I mean?
Everybody who ever made it anywhere had somebody in the beginning calling them crazy or stupid or an idiot or wrong for doing what they were doing until people got it. The smart people, the creators, the cool people, the smart people will get it at first. It'll take a while for everyone else to understand it. But then when you win and you look back at it, they'll all have been wrong. It happens all the time.
My revelation about you was whether or not this bus tour that you're doing turns out to be or have the effectiveness that you want. It is a sick first step in achieving the big goal that you want.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the picture. I think you posted a picture of you and your squad next to the bus. And I'm like, yo, how crazy would it be if in 20 to 30 years, you're the guy that changed education curriculum in America.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, that's sick. Like right now, not a lot of people probably can see that. But when it happens,
right.
Bro, you know what kind of change it's going to have on America?
Insane.
That's insane. Education is probably the number one thing that'll change the outcome and future of this country for the better, without a doubt.
Yep.
Because, I mean, that's everything, dude. Yeah. The way people are raised and the way people aren't playing to their strengths right now because they've been thrown in this cookie cutter system.
Yeah. And not only that, I think, you know, not to go down too far this road, but the amount of debt that our age is in, like we're in a bubble right now. We're really blessed. We get to make YouTube and video content for social media. But dude, there's a lot of people out there that are young that are in massive amounts of debt because they're getting a degree that their parents said, hey, I got a college degree. You should get it. And that's non-bankruptable. And I do want to say that because I took the leap to go on tour, I didn't know the solutions, but I met somebody who got me connected with a federal attorney who's actually helping me create legislation now that we're going to take to Washington, D.C. To implement. And I'm not going to get into that yet, but
bro, you're going
to
be a hero. And it ain't easy. I can see.
Somebody's got to do it.
But dude, when you start doing this kind of stuff, like you see, we live in a country that's a democracy. You can literally change that shit. Like if you get enough people to say, yeah, this is stupid and take action, you can do it.
All right. So
it's clutch.
So we talked about camp. We talked about the stressors of today, which by the way, there's always a stressor and camp is hell. For everybody, but we have to.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't mind it.
You it's funny because the only person that doesn't mind it is the only person that needs to mind it and is in the fight. I mean, it's taking a toll on the entire management team, the business team, the chef, the assistant, Danny, everyone. Like, there are so many people that when I talk about camp, they're like, "You're not even fighting, man. What are you distraught about?"
No, or
by the way,
fighting.
Or by the way, like, why did you get sober? Because that was a conversation that came up today. Why did you get sober when you're not fighting? I said, I did it as a vow of dedication to this camp and to this fight. I want to be having fun. When I go through a day like today, I want to go de-stress. I'm at this house for weeks at a time without leaving because I'm as dedicated to this fucking fight as he is.
Two things. One, the fact that I'm not feeling it as much as literally everyone else is, I think is a testament to how well everyone else is doing their job and how locked down we have. Because like to me, like everything does feel pretty automated.
It is.
I finish the workout. I have my food brought to me. Mm-hmm. I do the ice bath. And by the way, tons of people assisting me. And I'm blessed and so grateful that like this is all happening. Like for me, I'm like, oh, this is all I have to do essentially is work the hardest I possibly can. And I that's my shit.
Like it's so funny. Think about the amount of things. Like you just said, I get out of the ring. I go eat my food. That I go eat my food sentence that you just said has dozens of man hours involved in just that I go eat my food. Danny, Chef Katie, sous chef, cleaners, all of these little clocks need to work together perfectly just so you can say I went in to eat my food. Mm. Literally insanity, bro.
No, like I know. It's just insane.
It's crazy. It's wild.
And then the second reason why I think I'm enjoying this camp and I said this on the True Jordy podcast, is I think people highly underestimate the power of routines.
Yeah.
And for me, being regimented and following a schedule to work towards a goal it could be the most powerful thing anyone can do to achieve success. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, if you get in a routine, it's the reason Kevin Hines to this day works is mentally out. Healthy yeah, yeah. because he is in a routine. Put yourself in a routine. It yeah. is so important. I love it. I thrive in it. I'm sober. I'm working hard. I'm eating right. Everything. I'm going to bed on time, relaxing when I should be relaxing and not overworking myself. All of this adds up.
If you say you weren't in camp and you wanted to have sex, but your fucking dick, bro, wouldn't cooperate, dude. You couldn't get it hard, for example.
Okay. This is a great segue, actually, and I appreciate you doing this. Guys, if you love sex, you'll love BlueChew.com. BlueChew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom because we all like to go a little longer and last a few extra rounds, except not me anymore because I'm in fight camp. But if you want to last longer, BlueChew.com has the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis called sildenafil or tadalafil. There's a good chance you know what those are. They work faster than pills, up to twice as fast, and they can be taken on an empty or full stomach. It takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician, and if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. Gives you confidence in bed every time. You and your partner will love it. I love saying this every time. Chew it and do it. I got a great deal for you guys. Go to BlueChew.com, get your first order free when you use the promo code Logan. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com and use the promo code Logan. There's one thing I wanted to say.
Yeah. I was going to say, where's next? just because this is a...
Oh, I wanted to hit on the True Jordy podcast.
Before we talk press conference?
Because look, I mentioned it and Jordy, release the fucking contract.
I'm in phase mode. Release the podcast, Jordy.
I asked him, Mike, I was like, hey, we did this sick podcast with Jordy. Like, I want to post maybe some clips on my main IG because I like a lot of the stuff that was said. It was me, Jordy, Jake, Lawrence, and Mike. Like, five pretty guys who like know how to keep a conversation going. And I think he's holding it till closer to the fight, but...
Nah, we're gonna push him. And that shit, and you want to talk juicy. That shit got fucking juicy.
Yeah.
I mean, what didn't we touch? We touched on everything from Jana to Logan's fighting to Logan's potential heavyweight bouts to me as a porn star. Like, I mean, we literally touched on every fucking juicy topic. It was great.
And Jordy's, his whole poop
you
fetish.
Dirty Ooh. Dog.
did you guys talk about it?
Bro, we started, so we get there. Hold on, let's step
I'm
back
so
a little
I'm so excited
bit.
For this.
Let's step back a little bit. So we're in London. We're on enemy turf. We're going on the show. And I'm skipping ahead a little bit because I want to go back to the press conference. But we sit on the show of potentially one of the biggest, both physically and viewed, podcasts on YouTube from the UK. And so, you know, normally you would go in there, you'd show a ton of respect. And right off the bat, you would say, you know, we're here. What are your questions for us? Let's let him drive it.
Yeah. I made sure that we all... Right away,
address the elephant in the room.
Bro, we sat down and he's like, how was that press conference? And Logan goes, Jordy, I do want to just start off by saying this, you dirty dog.
You dirty boy.
Literally, and then all me, him, and Jake, bro, I'm dropping sentences that are like, man, that must have been a really shitty time for you. And I know it was crappy for everybody that had to watch it, but how did you pull yourself out of the dumps? Literally, like, just pounding away, bro.
It was so
and
fun.
It was great. But that's gonna be a dope podcast. But the question, I think the biggest thing on everybody was asking during it was, how did things go today? And so I wanna like back up
at the press conference.
To the press conference, yeah. Which
had, I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
This picture sums it all up. I mean, God damn, this was one of the most fun moments of my life. I swear to God, I had so much fun at that press conference. And if you saw last year's London press conference, I noticed my Ohio accent's coming back, by
it
the
is.
Way.
I think it's the mustache.
It's the A's, yeah. Huh? It's the mustache. If you remember last year's London press conference, I ended up walking off just because I didn't want to be there. And I was just sullen and downtrodden. And this year I made it a point to just have fun, dude. So the first thing I did was shave this mustache onto my face. And by God, did it work with this outfit. You got that tight turtleneck, the $100,000 VVS chain, the clear glasses, the British hat.
Dude, I think
Cartier bracelets, rings.
I think you found your one outfit. Yeah. I think you should replace everything in your closet with maybe different colors.
You're already speaking his language, bro. We have an event to go to. Should we say what event?
Yeah, sure.
We got an event to go to this Friday quickly. We'll knock it out in a couple hours and get him home for rest. But we're going to the Pornhub Awards.
Pornhub Awards.
On Friday, we've got very good seating. As you know, I have some connects in that space. And they were more than excited to bring good old LP into it. He has already said that he is very excited to wear this outfit to the PH.
Loro Piana Gator belt. Like, my guy.
Wow.
So I put on this outfit and I'm just thriving. This is my favorite outfit ever. And we pull up and it's such a different vibe this year because I'm confident in my fighting ability. Not just like confident as a person, as myself, which I was last year. Like I love myself, right? I believe in myself. But it's different when you believe in yourself and you can trust yourself to do the thing that you want to do. Facts. Last year was like a toss up. Like, man, I hope I learned enough boxing in 3 months to beat this kid. This year is like, yo, I'm a fucking good boxer this year. I'm a really solid boxer. Like I'm fucking up pros.
Yeah.
And that confidence is the reason I'm able to stand. By the way, on the stool, one hand in the air, take a deep breath and just look at all the fans who are booing me and suck the energy from them and use it to demolish the man across from me, which unfortunately was JJ.
It was a complete and utter demolition. And like, listen, like we go back and forth on this a lot, like me and the other team, and everybody wants to talk about like, oh, he's just doing that to big up his boy, or they say some other dumb shit. But like, let's be honest. You watch this press conference. You're looking at someone who is as cool as a cucumber, is establishing complete and utter and decisive dominance from a posture, from a what he's saying standpoint. If you watch that press conference and you saw him on enemy turf in front of thousands of fans that wanted to kill him, according to their words, and you saw this, you have to be scared as fuck if you're JJ, bro. You have to be.
You look like a blend of like Bob Ross and Thanos.
Interesting, you know what I'm saying? Combination.
I
would have said
he could make any art he wants, but he could also destroy anybody at the same time with a snap.
I would have said Charlie Chaplin and Dwayne Johnson.
Ah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
But yeah, man, I was thinking the same thing. Like, I think even the JJ fans, like I know Joe Weller came out, even Jordy came out and they're like, yo, like Logan took the dub on that one. And like, again, not to stroke myself, but I think it's pretty obvious, man. I was in my element. I felt good. My team was with me. Everything about this fight, I'm so fucking excited for. Mm-hmm. He brought a dog out in the beginning that looked like Kong. Did you see that?
It didn't really look like Kong.
It was a Pomeranian.
Yeah, yeah. It was just not well thought.
You had treats. You had treats.
We knew he was going to do it. It's predictable. I'm like, before the thing, I'm like, this is funny. I go, and I'll probably say this in my like recap vlog too. I was like, how can I neutralize that joke? Because it's funny. I was like, if I were JJ, I'd probably do that. Mm-hmm. Me as Logan Paul though, I couldn't bring a dog out on stage because PETA would eat me alive and I'd be canceled again. Like factually, that's just what would happen. Mm-hmm. But he brought this dog out on stage and I had dog treats. So I try to get the dog a treat. He hits it away. I see this dog shaking. I'm like, yo, like let's get this fucking dog off stage. Finally he did. And I think that fucked him up because the first like big hit he went for, like neutralized immediately.
Gone. Yeah. And you know what? But you do remember what my favorite line was from the entire press conference.
Oh.
You told him that you were going to light his feet on fire and put him in water. I literally, that was because that only second out of the two original press conferences, only second to bake, go bake a cake.
I asked him in this one. I said, did you bake the cake, bro? Where's the cake?
Because how do you like, listen, if you're in a physical or an altercation with someone and they bring out weaponry like that,
right?
How do you respond to that? Like physically or with words?
You can't, bro.
There's no coming back from that.
I told him I was going to slap him in the face with a fish.
Yep.
I told him I was going to kiss his mom on the cheek. I was going to light his feet on fire. I told him I was going to put him in water. I told him I was going to give his belly button a wet willy. I told him on November 9th, I said, it's going to be naughty, bro.
I love how Eddie Hearn is like, this is a real legit fight. Logan comes out, I will slap you in the face with a fish.
The amount of people.
Amazing.
The amount of people that were on the KSI side trying to decipher the thing. And they're like, Logan Paul is an idiot. Like if you didn't get like that troll was,
we say this all the time. If you don't get the joke, perhaps you are the joke.
You said something about his mom. He brought his mom back up, around the time of the press conference as well. And went as far as to say that he will knock you out. And he bets on his mother's life that that's going to happen.
I didn't even say this response. My assistant said it. Historically, we've seen that he doesn't really value his mom's life.
It's a solid, I mean, you
boy,
can't.
Boy hit his mom on Christmas and got kicked out of the house.
Oof.
Clearly doesn't mean that much to him that he's going to bet on it, risk his mother's life.
His dear mom.
Are you out of your godforsaken mind? I think that that was like his Hail Mary to as a faux confident comment.
Yeah, just came up short.
Well, yeah, by the way, we're not going to honor that bet. You know what? That we are not accepting that bet. Okay, so no matter what happens, your mom is going to be just fine.
Your mom.
We don't want any trouble. And by the way, is another another situation here. Okay, I met JJ's manager backstage. What was his name again?
Liam.
Liam. What a fucking stand-up fella.
Liam, okay? Liam's great.
He was a great guy. And he said, and I said, where are the Sidemen today? He said, do you want me to go get them for you? And I was like, you know, not really, because there's like 50 of them. And there's one, there's only, I'm a side man. I'm the only side man at the time. But
there's two of them, though. Like, there's two of them. There's Liam. Liam's cool. I like
and
Liam.
And Stuart.
And Stuart.
Yeah, who I met Stuart last year. But listen, like,
Stuart is, I'm going to say this really quick. So, Stuart, you hear this.
Oh, shit.
Oof, what do we got?
How can I say this so it affects him and seeps deep into his skin?
Say something about his tactical planning abilities.
You little fucking bitch.
Ooh.
I am not a part of this.
Wow.
Suck many wieners.
Whoa.
This man, this garbage bag of a man.
Oof. Is not even a garbage man?
No, garbage bag. Hefty shit.
Damn.
This man's fingers are fatter than his face.
Whoa.
Homie tweets at me like it's his job. Yo, focus on managing your fighter. He is glued to his phone, always tweeting some bullshit. I had to block him because it's like a, it's like the little annoying kid at school who's like nipping at your heels. And you're like, yo, you're a human. Why are you nipping at my heels?
Right.
Who does that?
Damn.
And yeah, he's obnoxious, bro. Jake actually got into it last year with this dude, Stuart.
Oh yeah, about the size of the ring.
About the size of the ring. The day before the fight. Yeah. He's like, no, this is, it's common practice. We warned you. And Jake's like, you're a fucking idiot. You didn't plan this shit right. Your tactical skills aren't correct. And
yeah,
I'm like,
Jake went nuts.
I had to break it up because I was trying to be like diplomatic. This year I see Stuart's gone. He's fully embodied the thing that he looks like, which like normally you can't do that. If you're entering a room with his head looking ass, you got to be a standout person, not a person like that people want to stay away from you because they probably could have guessed based on their first impression of you.
Damn.
I'm just saying, suck, and I'm going to murk your fighter.
You might have to get in a ring with him after this.
No chance.
I can't wait for this fight to be over. I really can't. I tweeted it just now. I just can't wait for this fight to be over.
Just now?
And yeah, I tweeted it. No, not just now, but earlier. This is not my style. Like, I like fights when need be. Like, to sit in fight mode for 3 months, and by the way, now to have fake BS beef with people that I like I've had back and forth with the Sidemen. I told the dude I met, Liam, I'm like, they're probably cool people.
Probably cool people? They are,
that's
bro.
What I'm saying. And
the
so,
Sidemen
like,
are lit.
And so I have, like, these... I have all this fake shit with people that, by the way, we'd probably hang out and be friends. And I can't wait for this to be over. Like, these two, him and JJ, the shit they've exchanged, they should hate each other. They've said horrible shit. But like, honestly, like, I'm sick of this. I want to get back to like work, everybody making money, like doing good. Once Logan wins this fight, which is 100% going to happen, I'm sending the Sidemen a large basket of chocolates.
Like with fruit in them too?
Yeah, like an edible arrangement.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was one other thing that happened. Should we talk about it? I feel like we can. And if the review team wants to cut it, they can cut it. I made a comment.
Oh, yes.
It was pretty aggressive. I feel like it's okay to talk about it because I'm actually comfortable on this topic, which is, I know, somewhat hypocritical, and I could be attacked because I'm a male. But I made a comment about JJ having 5 abortions. His brother, Deji, who came on this podcast, who no longer speaks to JJ, or I don't know what their relationship is now, but they were obviously had some turmoil. They broke up, if you will, and their whole family was severed. His brother Deji admitted in a diss track that JJ was on his 5th abortion. He came on this podcast and doubled down and said, yes, he's on his 5th abortion. And I sort of had that in my back pocket as an insult in case I needed to use it. If you notice, I did not use it in the LA press conference because it's a low blow. It's one of those things where I know it's gonna make some waves if I say it, and probably not the best way, but maybe.
Kind of similar, but maybe not almost as bad as talking shit about someone's dead animal. Do you know what I'm saying? Like an animal, by the way, that was with him for his whole life or for a bunch of years that he designed a brand around, something that was so important to him. You know, like that would be like an example. I know no one would ever do that, but just as an example of something that would be way worse than this.
You're right. That didn't trigger me. What triggered me and led me to say what I said was he brought up Japan, Kong, and Maverick, and I was just like,
kept going.
I was like, that's a little too much. I'm going to use the thing I probably should. And this was the first thing I said. So I made a comment about him having 5 abortions and that I'm going to return the favor. I said, I was like, I'm going to kill you, bro. I'm going to end you. And it was purely fight talk. I didn't dive into the complications of abortion. I didn't say if I was pro-life or pro-choice. I just said, I'm going to return the favor now. This was the weirdest phenomenon I've ever witnessed in my career as an internet creator.
Whoa.
We're at dinner in London, and the way this works is usually one tweet catches fire and starts to go viral a little bit, retweets, favorites, verified people start to comment on it, gets traction, eyeballs, eyeballs, eyeballs. So it starts to pop a little bit. This clip of me saying this pretty, like I'm not gonna lie, it's a pretty horrific thing. Like I was not being a nice guy, and I wasn't concerned about being a nice guy because I want to end this man. And I was seeing red in many ways, which doesn't often happen. I think I said something hastily. So tweet starts to go viral. And hashtag Logan Paul is over party, 5,000 tweets, refresh, 8,000 tweets, refresh, 10,000 tweets. We're like, ah, shit.
He comes up to me at dinner.
Notify the PR team.
He comes up to me at dinner and he goes, hey, can I talk to you for a second outside? And by the way, this is after 12 hours of travel, after 10 hours of press and all this shit. We finally get to this dinner. I'm sitting down. Yeah. I've got 2 girls there that I invited. It's all great. Yeah,
Stodd
great time.
Guy was there.
Stodd guy was there. Shout out Stodd guy. And he goes, hey, man, you gonna talk to you outside for a second? And I was like, here we fucking go.
Yeah,
and we walk outside and he starts to explain to me, which by the way, I'd already gotten a couple texts. I had not told him because I didn't want to fucking bother him with that info at the time.
When people start to reach out to you personally about it, that's also when you know it's bad.
Yeah.
And so
we like normal people, not Twitter people.
Not like fan accounts.
No. Right. So we held the beat and we're watching this online sentiment, and it looks like from this angle, I'm on track to get canceled again.
Uh-oh.
And I'm watching this. I'm like, this is going to be interesting because also at this point, I'm like, yo, can I really get fucking canceled again? Especially for some, like this one seemed a little out of place. Turned out it was. But the liberals were attacking me for assuming my comment was made as a pro-lifer.
I want a quick clarification. When you say the liberals, we're talking about one person. We're not talking about a group of people. The Logan Paul is over party, probably on the bad side of it. The people tweeting against him probably had 1 or 2 verified people. And then I don't want to take steam out of where your story is going, but I don't want you to make it seem like there was a massive group of people, because in reality, it was a bunch of K-pop fans.
We found out K-pop fans were dick riding the hashtag
hard
and using it to,
post K-pop shit.
But so it wasn't as heavy as we thought it was. But so the few people that came after me were almost immediately neutralized
in a big way by
pro-life conservatives, verified blue check, big following. Yes. Pro-life conservatives are like,
we hate to say it, but we agree with Logan Paul. And then I'm sitting there watching it and I'm like,
wow.
I'm like, okay, here's the scenario. Logan Paul made a statement that is in no way tied to any kind of women's rights. In no way, shape, or form. And by the way, we went over every minute and possible scenario.
Here's what it was. It was slightly chauvinistic and it was harsh, but I didn't take a stance, which was odd because there was the assumption that I was pro life. And then the pro-choicers attacked me. And then the pro-lifers came out and defended me.
And then they started fighting.
So they started fighting. The cancel cultures are literally trying to cancel each other. They're out.
Like, you're canceled. And then the other side was like, no, you're canceled. And the other side was like, no, you're canceled. And we're sitting at dinner watching it happen. I sent him a text. We were going back and forth, the management team, the PR teams, everybody. I sent him a text that said the following. You were taking, at what point does pro-choice become the defense of blatant irresponsibility on a man's front? So he has, according to his brother, according to the stuff we've heard, he has been using abortion as a form of contraceptive.
Which is my problem with it. Because also, here's the caveat in some of the this is so confusing. Some of the pro-choicers came out and said this as I was being canceled by the pro-choicers. If y'all remember, I had this tweet that went semi-viral a while back, and I said I took the liberty of drawing tiny dicks on the 25 male senators who voted to ban abortion in Alabama. Yo, I'll say it. I'm pro-choice.
Pro-choice.
I am pro-choice, and I'm happy to be vocal about it, which is the weirdest. It was the weirdest. I was being canceled by pro-choice.
So since.
And then the pro-lifers defended me, but I'm pro-choice, and now everyone's just getting confused.
Wow.
And I didn't say anything. So,
this sounds like Inception. Like,
crazy.
What dream am I in at this point?
My issue with JJ was
with
five?
JJ, by the way, not with the women that he... Not with the women that had the abortions.
And by the way, we don't know if there was more than one, if it was his longtime girlfriend, because I know he had a girlfriend for a while. I don't know what it was, but my issue with JJ was what Mike said, which was the irresponsibility in using abortion as a form of contraception, which I think is, again, blatant irresponsibility. And I think he deserves to be dragged for it. So that's what I attempted to do.
And so what we end up having here, now we're still sitting at this dinner, we're having this massive conversation. And now I want you to imagine Logan as a tree. A tall tree standing there, okay? And he's given the cancel culture a big axe, and other times he's given them a motherfucking napalm bomb to burn that tree down, okay? This time he gave the cancel culture a limp micro penis to chop the tree down. And so they're standing there, and they're like, Logan Paul's canceled, ding, 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 and it's doing nothing. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, these morons have no ammo. And so we get in this crazy conversation. Now we've got the PR team, the management, the business team, the lawyers, everybody looped in on this group chat.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 out of the 12 people are saying the following statement. He needs to issue a quick and direct apology.
Oh.
So we jump in.
You hate to hear that.
I jump in. Other people who I won't mention jump in, and we say, there will be no apology today.
Yeah.
There will be no fucking apology today, because here's the reason why. One, it doesn't warrant an apology because I'd be happy to watch him clarify it, which he's doing right now. One, it doesn't warrant an apology. And 2, more importantly, how fucking far have apologies gotten this kid in the past?
I was just going to say.
If anything, it makes it worse.
Mike said to me at dinner, he goes, yo, just to let you know, a Logan Paul apology is absolutely worthless. I go, yeah, you're
not
100%.
Happening. Unless,
what was that? What was the like situation room with the PR team? I don't want to put them on the bus, they get that. They're playing solitaire and they're like, wait, what's going on? Oh, it's an apology video.
This is I'll lay it out so you don't say it. Hot button issue. Very, very hot button issue. When a hot button issue gets involved, people freak out. They lose composure. Okay.
We just felt that because I did not take a stance and I said something that was harsh in the context of a fight where I am trying to kill this man and he's trying to kill me, because that could happen in boxing. And this, we're taking it that seriously. Both of us have dedicated our entire lives to it.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely didn't feel like an apology was necessary. Maybe a clarification, which like Mike said, we're doing it now. But we waited a beat and it
looks like it was the right thing. And by the way, if this goes out, which I hope it does, I hope that this lightning that has struck the lightning rod in some way, shape, or form creates a conversation, because at the end of the day, it raises a question. If you are pro-choice, and maybe this isn't a question for a man to answer, then ladies, please step up and have this conversation without us, okay? At what point does pro-choice become blatant irresponsibility on the account of the man?
I love that question.
This is a big question, because if a woman has gone, one woman, multiple women have gone for 10, 15 abortions, at what point does it become harder for the pro-choicers to defend the stance that is so important in this country right now, that women should have the right to abort? At what point does this start to fuck up their stance? Imagine going to the pro-lifers and with a woman that has had 20 fucking abortions, just nicks in life everywhere, because they have irresponsibly not decided to use contraception.
My initial reaction is, what is the cost on them, or is this a cost that taxpayer dollars would take care of?
To me,
that would matter, because then it's like, are we trying too hard to like jump in and control somebody else's life?
I think it's a personal cost.
Then that's their irresponsibility. You know what I mean?
No, I'm saying, but morally, like, yeah, how many lives is too many lives? The pro-lifers will tell you one.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I think it comes back to the senators with the dicks on their heads. Yeah, you know, it's like, that's not our call. If you...
My issue with that was that they're all men. Like, right, suck the little dicks on your face.
True.
Even having this conversation right now, to be honest,
it's a question. Hold on a second.
It's tricky, because the only female we have in the room right now is Danny.
We can ask questions. Yeah. I am not making any fucking statement here. I'm not making... Besides that, I personally feel that women should have the right to do what they want with their bodies. But my question is, not my statement.
You said it.
And if you're watching this... No, not that again. Yeah. Where do you draw the line? In short, like, is there an end to that? Like, does it... When you get to 3, 4, 5, like... I don't know. And it's a question. It's just a question that I'm posing. Like, is there an end to where it can go or should go?
I don't know.
All right. I think that wraps that up nicely. I hope we did that whole thing justice in explaining that story. Cause it was an interesting phenomenon. And
shout out K-pop. Shout out K-pop fans for just blowing that thing to the fucking moon. We also got lucky.
Trisha Paytas.
Because it was the same day that Trisha Paytas admitted that she was really...
What did she say?
She said she's a transgender woman to man, but the man is a drag. Dressing up.
Oh, okay, wait. So she says she's a transgender woman to man, but the man dresses in drag to make him appear female.
Have you ever seen someone's head explode on a show?
Yeah.
My head will pop off, bro. Go straight through the fucking ceiling. Boy,
that happened. Confused the masses.
And she out-tweeted us. I think it had 20.8 and we had 20.5.
Shout out to Trisha.
Thank you.
You had pro-life and pro-choice doing this with my thing. And then the LGBTQ comes in, they're like, I don't think so. I don't fucking think so. Goodbye, Trisha. And now it's just this like...
It was like watching... It was like watching a three-way game of Battleship between protected groups.
And they were like,
fuck you, B2, bitch.
And Trump had just declared war on Turkey with his infinite wisdom.
Oh, you didn't see that? Oh, you didn't see that, Spencer?
No, bro. I'm trying to be out here positive. I was meditating by a river.
Pull
yesterday.
This fucking tweet up, please.
Oh, my God.
This man said, no. This man said, in my great and unmatched wisdom. This man has. So I say to myself, at what point is he straight up trolling? Because that's what the right will say a lot of the time. Is he trolling?
Want to know something I read the other day that I don't know if this is true or not, but Donald Trump has 12 Diet Cokes a day and can watch between 4 to 8 hours of TV every single day. Did you guys see that?
4 to 8 hours of TV.
That's a lot of TV. 8 hours of TV daily. 12 Diet Cokes. Which one is what?
Wait, currently? Or was this when he was in Billionaire?
No, now he's drinking.
As I have stated strongly before, and just to reiterate, if Turkey does anything that I, in my great and unmatched wisdom, consider to be off limits, I will totally destroy and obliterate the economy of Turkey. I've done it before.
They must,
with Europe and others, watch over.
Spencer.
Wow.
Just so everyone is aware, I can't believe I'm saying this. Turkey is one of our allies, okay? They're friends of ours, okay? And so that's like me literally saying to you on this podcast, Spencer, right now, that in my great and unmatched wisdom, if you ever miss a show again, I'm going to destroy you. You're my friend. What the? By the way, I read this before the press conference. I'm sitting there reading this tweet and I'm like, I haven't slept. I was already about 30 hours into my 72-hour no sleep binge. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, is this real? Or am I hallucinating? Like, is this really fucking happening?
Yo, but I mean, how many times can you have that reaction before? Like, this didn't surprise me. I'm thoroughly entertained at this point. I'm just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Great and unmatched wisdom.
Now, fuck that. This is a step up. Everybody always says that, like, at what point do you stop being surprised? And for the most part, I'm not surprised. When he says he's going to shoot up Americans on the street on Fifth Ave, that's fine. Like, that's not fine with me. But, like, him saying that, I would expect it. When he threatens the destruction of a global superpower that we are allies with, I start to say to myself, what the fuck is going on right now?
I don't know. How is that possible? So is this... I know very little on the situation
he knows very little on the situation, just so you fucking know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even want to dive in.
Me neither.
It was just interesting.
Donald Trump, man.
Didn't get stabbed. Anything on the feeling of security and safety in...
Did you guys have royal guards? Was that true?
We had pretty big ass security guards.
Our security guards would be in the street protecting us, making sure we didn't get hit by any cars, and a car would go by and like honk his horn at our security guard. And our security guard would be like, yo, shut the fuck up.
He literally went in the dude's window and the dude was going like, you know, the drivers that go like this?
Yeah.
Like that. He kept doing that. And the security guard walks over so slowly, sticks his head in the guy's window. He goes, shut the fuck up. Keep fucking moving. Like literally gets in the car and then the dude just rolls his window up and drives away.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And what did he say? He was like, that was like a 4 out of 10 or something like
that. Yeah. He's like, if you really wanted to see me do it, I would have ripped him out of the car. I'm like, all right, we're protected probably. So yeah, we felt very safe. Amazingly successful trip.
We also decided to test our security as much as possible. We went to the press conference, and you know, with all the stabbing, the acid risk, all of these very serious threats that cost the police there a lot of money, and it was a very real deal. In our infinite and unmatched wisdom, we decided not only let's go to a big group dinner afterwards, but then let's go to a dark nightclub as well. And so we ventured into a very popular dark London underground nightclub. And after all the talk about you know, attacks and knivings and all that stuff, we got there and they played It's Every Day, Bro.
What the fuck was that?
The DJ
that?
Just fired it off.
No one asked him. They played It's Every Day, Bro. I'm like, Jake, did you request this? He's like, no.
Not to mention 5 different groups of people at the club sent bottles to our table.
That's incredible.
I mean, and a large group of them came over and said, oh, I just want to let you know, we don't fuck with KSI. We're Logan Paul fans. And we're rooting for you on November. I'm like, this went completely different than I thought it was going to go.
Every time I've been in London, I love London. I love the people. Obsessed. They're always so nice to me, so kind, which is why, you know, when JJ rallies his fans at these press conferences, I ain't too concerned. They're like, you know, 12 to 16-year-olds who hold their middle fingers up like, guys, this doesn't do anything. This doesn't affect me. I get you want to like express yourself, but
I got hit with a couple nickels though.
Yo, crazy.
Collected all of them, dude.
Everyone on stage got hit by projectiles except Jake and I.
Really?
I saw a nickel hit JJ. I'm like,
why are they all throwing nickels?
That's all they had. Picked it
big
up.
Currency.
Nickels, pencils, some paper.
Sunglass cases.
A sunglass case almost got me, you motherfucker. He almost got me. I was like, whoa.
Somebody's watching this right now and they're like.
Damn, so no paint cans this time.
No paint cans.
Bro, that's good. We were in and out.
No gold Rolls Royces.
The best thing for me though is, man, the London women. Woo.
Uh-oh.
Hospitable.
How's your
hospitable is all hell.
How's your girlfriend gonna feel about that?
Well, she's actually a porn star who has sex with a lot of men. So I don't think she's really gonna give much of a fuck. I don't have a girlfriend, Spencer. Shut the fuck up. Although, there is other news. We've talked about Julia Rose. Do you remember Julia Rose, the girl that I had the DM situation with on Instagram, and I was obsessed with her? Well, I randomly saw her at the club and had my first ever face-to-face encounter with Julia Rose the other night.
It's in London? Or
no, here, before we left.
How was it?
Girl's awesome. Girl's awesome. Spent the whole night with her. No, we didn't hook up. I don't know if you think we did or we didn't, but we didn't.
Did you get anything creative in there? Did you talk to her at all?
Did you tell her she was a good chugger, like your other crush? Or was it a little more smooth than that?
No, it was great. I mean, we went to a bunch of parties. We went to a party that Tyga was at during the midst of his Tyga Kylie dilemma. So that was interesting. We went to a bunch of parties, but we hung out. She's a cool girl. Cool chicken. By the way, she said, what's the deal with all this stuff on the podcast? Because it was funny because I didn't know if she would know about it if she would try to play it off. But she was like, what's good? Like, why are you always talking about me? And I was like, I don't know. It's really cute and shit. I was trying to take a book from a page from Logan's book on it.
You know what I do? I hope none of them watch it. Some of them watch this.
No, it's an hour deep, dude.
Only
Dylan's
some
watching.
Some of them.
Some
of them watch.
I'll be like, yo, you said this on your podcast. Like, what the fuck? And I'm like, nah, it's just that's content, babe. Sex sells. So I gotta pretend.
Bro, it's funny. It's funny. It's funny content. You say that because she was like, just one question I've been dying to ask you. Did you fuck Riley Reed? And I was like,
oh, no.
And I had just finished a 20-minute rant on how powerful my platform of honesty and transparency is. And I was like,
you had to tell the truth.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It was a while ago. And also, by the way, I wore a condom. All right. But yo, she goes, and then she asked me other questions after that. And I was like, but you got to understand, a lot of it's just for content. A lot of it it's just for content. We're just trying
it ain't too far off sometimes. Like we definitely maybe exaggerate. We're pretty honest on this show, if I'm being honest. All right.
What else? That
started with a DM and look at this great thing. It could potentially blossom into. I wanted to comment on, I DM some fan accounts.
Yep.
Every day.
I'm happy you're talking. Every day. I'm happy you're talking.
Every single day. There's two in particular. I got to give a shout out to these guys. Team Maverick LP, literally every single day. And Team Maverick USA.
There we go.
Yo, they are, first off, fan accounts are the, fans in general are the greatest thing ever. The fan accounts that can measure the online sentiment, collect data, videos, pictures, and give them to me and provide, she provides both of them so much value in my life because I can, from a fan's perspective, and they aren't being yes fans. They can tell me yo, this was funny. This wasn't. Can you act like this press conference? Don't be a moron this time. And I'm like, okay, cool.
So they're honest with you. They're not blowing smoke up your ass.
I mean, that's how I like it.
They are our eyes and ears.
Except I will say, and just like anyone in this house, if I get an opinion from them that I don't agree with, I'll be like, you're right. No, not this time. I don't agree with that. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Right.
But I think if more people connected with their fans, specifically fan accounts, there is so much value in this.
Do you know who operates these?
The one I do. She's from Australia, Team Maverick LP.
There we go.
She's great.
Got to have her out to the fight.
One of them's coming. Team Maverick USA is. She asked me, what do I wear? Help, please. You're Mr. Fashion now. Because, you know, I got a mustache and shit.
True.
I said, I'm not. Haha, just dress nice. Because she's going to be a front row to the fight.
And by the way, they're all like friends. So I have one. On Twitter that's called Hey Little Mike, a.k.a. Mike's niece. Shout out, Hey Little Mike. And so I follow her on Twitter. But she's in a group chat, which I see. Maybe someday I'll comment. And she's in it with Team Maverick USA and all those other people.
This one's cool. This one's my favorite. It's on Twitter. Favorite on Twitter. Future Pogan Law.
Whoa.
So it's me, but in the future.
Damn.
So far, so good. Yeah?
You look good, bro.
I don't know. They aged me pretty rough, I think.
Yeah, that's clearly you had a couple too many fights in you. I don't know.
Yeah.
London was a blast.
And it was a lot of travel.
It was a lot of travel. We came up with a game. Maybe you could play it at home.
Oh my God.
This was weird.
How do you explain this?
It was post being awake for 24 hours. We had pulled an all-nighter.
24 hours for you. 24 hours for you. I was 72 hours.
Okay.
From not sleeping. I was hallucinating, losing my mind. I told Logan, I said, this is nothing that's happening right now is good. So, I mean, I need you to get down here. He was like sending me texts and I was like, I need you to come down and talk to me. I'm in bad shape right now.
But we pulled Mike together with this game. It's a fun game. You should play it when you travel. We would come up with one of our friends' names and then we'd give a scenario sort of like Taboo where you can't set, you have to come up with something that rhymes with it given the context of a situation.
For example.
No, let me give one, all right? Yep. All right. Mike Malak. I'd be like, all right, Mike Malak. You're really far away from home and you got to return on your two-wheeled machine. And you got to come up with something that rhymes with Mike Malak that describes that situation. You're really far away from home and you got to return on your two-wheeled machine.
And in that circumstance, you'd really have to bike way back. Yeah. Andre said, and by the way, we did this for 3 hours.
Three
fucking hours. And so Andre goes, you are a very active bowler and you've got some beef with someone that you wanna get even with. Strike payback.
So yo, get your friends.
Literally the dumbest, like this. And when you think of all the like glamour and glitz that comes along with like being like a big time like influencer and shit, this is what we do. That's what we do for fun. We're in the back of a fucking cab, big ass like limo thing, just playing this game for 3 hours.
Yeah. So maybe you could play it at home to pass the time.
What other stuff?
I can't believe it was that fun.
Oh my god. The game or the trip?
The game and the trip.
It was fun.
I don't know. Is there anything else we need to bamboozle about? Hey friends, do you ever find yourself wishing that you could make some extra cash with your NFL knowledge? And MyBookie, they want to make your dream come true this season. Right now, all players are invited to play in the free $50,000 Survivor contest. Winner takes all. Wow, 50K? Woo! Two more than 48,998. Pick one team each week, survive the longest, and you can take home $50,000 in cash. Make a successful deposit with MyBookie, and you'll receive a free entry in the contest today. If you're the kind of guy or girl who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. And if you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game, folks. If you want to join MyBookie, we'll double your first deposit. Join right now. Use the promo code Logan to activate the offer. That's promo code Logan to double your cash. MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Do you think arcades are the first step in making kids want to gamble when they're older?
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know.
That's an interesting thought.
They hit arcades before social media.
That's so what I'm saying.
Remember that conversation about things going wrong and me just having it all over my back today and just not being able to get it together?
Something go right or wrong, not just now.
What would you think?
Ah, shit, the compound.
So my beautiful mom, who I said earlier, hasn't been here, okay? She's never been.
I'm so stoked to meet her,
it's going to be great, right?
It's going to be
incredible. So I booked her a car. Mom, she flew in on a 7-hour flight from New York very early this morning. My mom doesn't do well with this kind of stuff. She's not a big, you know, traveler. Okay. So my mom got to the airport. I booked a car for her. The car they booked at a location that was 30 miles away. So I had to Uber her there. Is anyone listening to me or should I literally jerk off in my own mouth right now?
No, we're listening.
What the fuck are you guys doing? Are you texting each other? Do you give a fuck about my mom?
I've never met her.
Okay. Yeah. Quickly, let just me finish before everyone just zones out.
Preferably again. Just finish, but don't finish in your mouth.
Okay. So I Uber her to another car location to get a car. And she just texted me and said, the car broke down. And I said the following.
Oh my God.
Mom, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
Oh my
Olivia,
God.
Please handle this. Now that would be great, my assistant Olivia, except she's watching the podcast. She's not fucking being an assistant.
Olivia.
Go Olivia.
Thank you, all Olivia. Right. But please get my mom off the side of the 405. Please.
Wait, have her send us a photo so we know it's real because your mom could be just complete BS.
I'm assuming I'm going to love your mom because I love your sister and I'm blessed to know that they invited me to Thanksgiving in Hawaii with them.
What?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I love spending Thanksgiving with my friend's family.
Are you going to go?
Maybe.
That sounds incredible. I wish I could go.
Well, here's the problem.
You came to Easter, right?
Yeah.
Would you want to come or are you going to be traveling? I mean, I kind of just invited you to Mike's family's thing.
You can
come. Here's the problem.
Uh-oh.
In their unmatched and infinite wisdom, they've decided that this is the place we should stay for that trip. By the way, this won't make it because obviously we wouldn't want to give away the location of where we're fucking staying. So
no, that's fine.
It's like 2,000 or like 3,000 or like 15,000 a night.
Well, with these big fight bags, boys, I think we're gonna be okay. Okay.
Well, hold on. Let's any final fucking words. Like, this is a big deal. We're not gonna be sitting back down at this table.
I was
table.
Just gonna say, is there a plan for us to begin season two at a specific date?
There's no
probably plans. After the fight,
after
dude.
After the fight, dude.
And you said we're going to demolish this whole set.
Yes.
And we're starting fresh?
Yes.
Pretty sure you said that. Oh.
I didn't say that, but after seeing True Jordy set up, I mean, this man has cameras this big, big old lights, 12 people. Like, he's got a legit operation. He's got a wooden table. Wooden table.
Damn.
Any, like, closing statements just in the
Waka Flocka wants to come on the podcast, which if he does means this might not be the last one, but if it is,
should we assume it is? I just want to say, I wish that it didn't have to go like this on the final day of this season. It's been a stressful day and I do apologize for the amount of pent up anger and energy that's in my system. This fight camp has been hell. I owe it to all of you guys to stay calm, deliver value, and most importantly, make you guys laugh. And I enjoy the ability to do that. And I'm thankful for you. So thank you. Mm.
I'm blessed to be given a platform to do what I love doing the most in my life, and more blessed that you guys enjoy watching it and consuming it. I want to thank you for that. Unless anything urgent or super topical comes up that we may want to touch on, this could be the last podcast until season two after the fight. So just wish me luck. Get your fight tickets. The link is going to be in the description.
Yep.
November 9th at the Staples Center. It's going to be nuts, guys. If you can't watch it in person, here in LA, it's going to be on DAZN. If you're in America, the DAZN app. So download that, buy the membership, and then check out the fight. And then if you're in the UK, Sky Sports box office.
UK and where else? Ireland, stuff like that too?
I think so.
Because this is a big question.
Just stay tuned on my socials and you'll find out where. But it is the biggest event of my life. And we love doing this show, but all efforts are going to be focused on winning this fight. And JJ, final message for you. Going down.
I like soy.
Not only just plants.
Soy boy.
You like that? I'm going to end it like soy that. Thanks for giving someone who consumes soy a platform on the show.
A soy-based platform. I just feel so sad right now.
Damn, season one. That was
190,000 episodes, season one.
Damn.
Are you sure this isn't season two already?
I think so.
Because aren't the Black Polaroids season two?
Oh, shit.
I think we fucked up. Maybe like a call, like a hiatus from season two.
Oh, yeah. Should I stop the lights? Or? Yeah, maybe stop the lights.
Yeah, I'm having an aneurysm. Danny, what the fuck? My mom's already broken down on the side of the road.
Should we do like a moment of silence just to drag out the time? Or
I don't know. I just feel like maybe come up with a word and we just talk about it for a sec.
Like bike way back.
What is it?
Do the game for Spencer Taylor. Spencer Taylor. Let's do the game for Spencer Taylor.
All right.
Okay. You're editing on a software program and you have to wait while the program gets your project ready, but you're on a boat.
Oh. Oh, just.
The program.
Do I have to rhyme both words?
Yeah.
Oh,
the program is compacting your project and making it watchable, but you're on a boat.
Render sailor.
Yeah.
All right. So fun.
That was great.
You have to send a coupon book, the old fashioned way, and the coupons are only good for hand-to-hand combat using swords.
Something mailer.
Fencer mailer.
Incredible. Incredible workmanship.
See, it's a fun game.
It's a fun game for all.
Wow.
All right, that'll probably do it.
That was
That was good. Hit that subscribe button. Ah, oh, man.
Follow our socials. Follow the Night Shift.
Yeah.
Look up Night Shift on YouTube right now. It's Mike.
Oh, holy shit. Shit.
Yeah. Psycho.
Atta boy.
Mike Malak vlogs at Hey Big Mike on Instagram.
Plug?
Oh. I was going to say Film Dispenser, but it's Spencer Vibes Spencer on Instagram Vibes. And YouTube.
Man's changing the education curriculum. Follow that. And if you feel so inclined, follow me at Jake Paul. We love you guys.
Drop the fucking podcast, Jordy.
We'll see you next month. Take it easy.
Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.